Yo, 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 what's up? It's CJ the Day Slayer. This is Upgrade America, Season 5, Episode 3. We're going to get into it. This episode, like, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Upgrade America all day, every day. It is Black History Month, so we will be celebrating our heritage as Black Americans and giving facts and figures throughout the month of February. We're going to talk about Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. We're going to talk about the Neuralink with Elon Musk getting a volunteer, I guess. We're going to talk about transhumanism. We're going to talk about what kind of government we're in and a whole bunch of other topics. Like, share, subscribe. Stay tuned. We appreciate you. And peace.
Peace and blessings, everybody out there. This is Upgrade America. I'm Cameron Ra, here with CJ the Day Slayer. And we're just talking about what's going on in our beautiful country, around the world, and obviously how we can upgrade America.
Yeah.
Jay, how the heck are you? What's going on the rundown today, bro?
I'm good, man. Thanks for asking. I'm blessed, grateful, ready to get it rocking. On the rundown today, we're going to discuss the Neuralink and other biotech, how to regulate that. We're going to talk about the Cuba Missile Crisis 2.0. The Upgrade America album. We'll get to talking about that with the $1.5 million prize. New laws. We're going to talk about one of my policies. I created a few. And then we're going to talk about a couple Black history heroes. And then also talk about what it would look like to draft reparations for Black Americans.
Right on. So let's just get down to it. History was made this week, last week, rather. And the first human being was, like, hooked up to a microchip. And they were able to control a device with their brain. And, yeah, man. Sci-fi, Hollywood set forth mad scenarios how this could go wrong. What are your thoughts, bro, on this historic breakthrough?
It's scary, but we know that's where it's been going. It's been foreshadowing. What do they call it? Predictive programming or something? So I'm just thinking of the person who volunteered to do that. Like, why?
So here's how the road to hell is paved in good intentions, right? So when you roll it out, it's an age-old saying. When you roll it out, you're not saying the use case isn't, yo, we're going to make you an elite cyborg so you can be smarter, faster. No. It starts with a medical use case. So I believe, like, folks who have, and I don't want to throw the wrong disease out there, but somewhere where your muscular system is compromised and you couldn't use a phone with your hands.
Gotcha.
Feel me? So it's like, oh, you're having this issue. Now you can use, control, and manipulate devices with your phone. I'm sorry, with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it raises some really huge red flags. Mm-hmm. The potential of it is incredible. Meaning you can download information into your brain. You can control, it's almost like a form of telepathy, an artificial sense of telepathy with this machine. There's a lot of things that can be done with it. However, in this age where our electronic devices are continuously being compromised and continuously being threatened, it's almost like those threats are now, they're spreading to your literal mind. I'm going to rant for a minute.
Okay.
Like, your phone It is your phone, your electronic devices. They are a pale reflection of your mind, meaning like you can kind of get some insight on how a person is thinking, how a person is wired by looking at their phone, their pictures, their applications, their notes, things of that nature. But now you're talking about literally entering into the mind. Like a chip is in the brain. Your thoughts could be compromised. Mm-hmm. We're talking about malware and things impacting our iPhones. Well, not really our iPhones, more Android problem. But like malware impacting our devices.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about malware that can impact your brain. You're talking about forced advertisements on your mobile. Imagine forced advertisements in your brain. Like, I don't know. I ranted long enough on that. How do you think we could legislate this type of tech?
It would have to be, like, we've been screaming about a 21st century bill for technology and AI.
And yeah, I guess it would be a constitution.
Yeah.
Regarding these type of technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to have some fundamental rights for, you know, like the user.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like such a technology will not intrusively gather data that try to. There has to be some portion of the human mind that you have to keep your hands off. I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm thinking about you. Do you know what we think about on an average day, like as a human? Like,
yeah, I do.
Just to imagine like all the dark thoughts and secrets and like all kind of shit that can be recorded. We are, like you said, you're already pretty much recorded by every device you have. There's really no way around it.
So hold on, let's stay on that.
Inside.
Are we going to come to an age where there's going to be thought crime? We're just thinking the wrong thing could result in legal action? Like, you said it yourself, like the human beings, are we exist in this dark realm of thoughts and everything, particularly when we're driving. But
I just think, and so for people to have a point of reference on what we're talking about, you got what's called the Minority Report.
Mm.
Tom Cruise, that came out like 2000, maybe two, somewhere down there.
And
they were catching people before they committed a crime. It was called precognitive crime or something like that. And that's kind of where this would lead, because they're already trying to do stuff like that online already, which I'm torn on, because in some instances, you got to catch the threat online. You've thwarted a lot of stuff, too, that could have happened because they saw a threat online. So it's
I'm for the freedom of speech, because that should be an intelligence agency should be grateful for things like Twitter, because you can log all these utterances and of hatred or what have you, and you should be able to use that to stop crimes. But this realm that we're entering in right now, I don't see the demand being very high for that.
No.
Don't want to get a chip in your brain. But there has been arguments on about how that this type of technology will increase the divide. Meaning like average person right now, it's pretty much democratized right now, right? Meaning like with the smartphone tech. You want to make huge calculations, we all have calculators at our hands. You want to know anything about history, you have a supercomputer at your hands in your pocket, your smartphone. Pretty much every human being has one of these in the in the modern civilized world.
Mm-hmm.
Now with this chip technology, you're talking about syncing your brain to the computer. So rather than, hey, I need to multiply 1 million times 3,504 or some shit, you can just do that in your brain, like at the speed of thought. Mm-hmm. And whereas, hey, I need to look up the, I need to look up this data set or what have you, this information, whereas the average person is going to be lagging because they're going to be thumbing it in, these cyborgs are going to be on a, they're just going to be that much faster. And I really don't know. As far as from a legislation point, the end user, we really need to consider the safety of the end user, the privacy of the end user.
Yeah.
I don't know how much to go from there. So,
how do you designate them without discriminating against them? You get what I'm saying? So,
now what do you mean designate?
If they have this Neuralink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider them human?
That's a very great question. I know maybe it was like season 3 or something like that. We talked about the end of humanity. You familiar with the transhuman movement?
Yeah.
Not the transsexual, but like the transhuman, meaning like they want to ascend humanity, the state of being human, into this like machine, cyber sentience type of thing.
So it'd be like Terminator 2, essentially.
No. So
Terminator 1, what?
No, so here's the thing. So Terminators were, and I hate to use this term, Terminators were androids. An android is a sophisticated robot.
Now, okay.
A cyborg is what we're talking about with humans, right? A cyborg is essentially merging with the machine.
So iRobot.
No, iRobot was an android as well.
No, Will Smith. Think about that.
Will Smith was a cyborg?
No, remember his arm was.
So yes, that's cybernetic.
Considered transhumanism, just like RoboCop would be the same thing?
RoboCop, yeah, he would be cyborg and transhuman.
Okay.
What's another good example? DC Comics.
Oh, Cyborg? That guy?
Yeah, essentially. So his story is like, my understanding, he got killed, but they hooked up a bunch of computers to his brain and body, and he became a cyborg. But to answer your question, that was a long explanation to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. Would not consider that individual to be human anymore. Of course, they have the same, their heart still pumps, they still bleed.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But it's almost like you said, it's something different. And I gotta circle in this biblical stuff because I know it has this uncanny resemblance of what's going on right now. So there's this the book of Revelations is about the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who rules the world is the Antichrist. The way he retains power is with the mark of the beast. So mm-hmm. The mark of the beast is a mark that's either in your forehead or on your left hand, right?
Okay.
And then the scripture says he forces all, great and small, talking about like whether you're wealthy or you're poor, he forces them all to do business with the mark of his name, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like they talking about, this is the Bible, 2,000 plus years ago, talking about cashless payments, you know what I mean, in the future. And this just has that eerie resemblance to it. And it's worth talking about now. So I wrote this book called The Wrath of the Christ about these times, Revelations, brain chips, robot armies, all that good stuff. Long story short, so there's this there's a terrorist attack And the Antichrist in the book, he's like, he feels vulnerable because it was some of his military members. So mm-hmm. what he did, he put brain chips in all of them. So he's like, he had to ensure loyalty. He had all his all his soldiers, they had to have this neural link type of brain chip implanted into them. This allowed him to, one, read and control their thoughts, but also get them to fight against their will, shots of adrenaline, all these things of that nature. But I could see a point in time that it could be mandatory, particularly within government and in military. And the other mark of the beast, where I was saying you have one in your forehead or one in your hand, that one is sounding a lot like this, this digital ID they want to attack humanity with.
Yeah.
You and I went back and forth on whether the Bible was actual prophecy or if jerk-offs are using it as a playbook to... to execute their tyranny, but there is some uncanny resemblances.
Absolutely. But,
you got any additional thoughts on Neuralink or?
Not really. I mean, you covered pretty much everything. I don't really have anything to add on. I would just say, enjoy being human as long as you can. To be honest, I mean, that's where we're going.
It's like, are you a fan of the Matrix?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the franchise, and that's another Hollywood analogy for Neuralink is like you have this implant, this interface where it was able to hook them up to that alternate reality. But you remember the folks in Zion that never had that? Those are like the pure humans, and they're like, yo, we don't got no chips in our brain. None of that. We never had that. And it was almost like a thing of pride, you know, that they embraced that humanity. And while it is commonplace now, we take it for granted. But, you know, for all those who didn't take that experimental. And enjoy and embrace your humanity.
I know. Yeah, you're right. Damn, I was thinking that as you were talking. Like, if you resisted that, that's the first step into self-sovereignty and self-autonomy.
Facts, brother, facts.
Yeah, damn. Good point. I guess we can go ahead and talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. So what were you meaning by this headline?
Yeah, so... Just let me know if we're still recording.
Yeah, we're still recording. You're good.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to jump up into X and see if I can just bring that up real quick.
Okay.
So while I'm searching, it's...
Those who don't know, sorry, real quick. For those who don't know, that's Twitter. But Cam tends to call it X. I still call it Twitter. So just throwing that out there.
I mean, there's still... Oh, yeah. So here's a headline. Tucker is in... he's in Russia. Allegedly, he may be interviewing Vladimir Putin.
Interesting.
So Russians threaten to install atomic weapons again in Cuba.
Okay.
Is this a threat or reality? We must remind the U.S. authorities that Putin has 2 weekly flights to Havana and Varadero. So, this is just random tweets from the app formerly known as Twitter. Known as X, but if you want to get an official, and it's not official because they're all propaganda, but a well-known news article, perhaps I can do that right now. So I'm just gonna type in Putin, Cuba, and we'll see what's up. So Reuters, Putin has invitation to visit Cuba, says Russian. Yeah, that's old news. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything in the main news about this.
Okay.
So again, we are not news. We're just two combat vets chatting it up. All speculation, entertainment, what have you.
Absolutely.
how do you think geopolitically, how do you think that would impact America if Putin were to park nuclear warheads in so close to home?
Obviously, we don't want that. We've been there in the 60s, obviously, but it goes back to what I've been saying since probably season one, season two. We should be in an economic agreement with these countries to neutralize stuff like this. Right? So, and that goes for Russia too. I said you should talk to your enemies.
Oh, absolutely agree with that. And I think so, that Tucker talking to Putin is a way of doing that. But
yeah. It's hard now because technology is so different, because you can have tactical nuclear weapons. They don't have to be the big missiles and stuff. We're 90 miles from Miami, so that's a major, that's becoming a major tech hub as well. You definitely want to keep eyes on that, obviously. You definitely want to be in the room to see what they're talking about. Like, you're going to have some assets around when that, when he touched down.
But you know, the United States has to respond by moving nukes closer to Russia. It's like, and what would that probably be? I don't want to say Germany.
Yeah, well, with Turkey, right? Turkey, Italy.
Turkey's not to... Here's the thing. If we're talking about, what, Cuba's 40 miles from Miami? So then I would put the same amount of pressure on Putin. And I'm thinking, can I park? Because, no, I do not want to park nukes in the Ukraine. Too much pressure. Yeah. I don't really trust them like that. And it's like, as far as Poland, I don't know if they have the facilities to store, you know, nuclear warheads, tactical nukes.
Yeah, because I know we are re-establishing a partnership with Poland. Last I remember,
you're still NATO, though, I believe.
Yeah,
you're still NATO. But thing is, like, back in the day, my understanding, Germany was a PRP base.
Mm-hmm.
They had warheads. They didn't when I was there.
No, we were there at the same time. Right.
Yeah. You were there when I was in Italy.
No, but I think you came after me, right?
Yeah, I came after you.
That's what it was. Okay. So I don't think it's a good idea. Like, you want to. You definitely want to have them talk, so you want to know what they're talking about. As far as them actually moving something, yeah, I don't know, man.
You need leverage to talk, because it's like, if you know, if you're trying to have a conversation, but someone has all the chips, they had all, then you have no leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. My understanding is that's how it was resolved last time, by threatening to move nukes to Turkey, which I think is still pretty far from Russia.
I don't think it's that far.
Yeah, you're right. Cause Russia's pretty...
Yeah, Turkey. Because you got to remember, Turkey's in Europe and Asia.
So I'm looking at the map right now. Because my understanding, Turkey borders Iraq. But then there's one of those stands countries, I believe. So here's Turkey. Nah, so Turkey borders. So they got Georgia. Georgia is blocking Turkey from, how do you say, from Russia. But you're right, it would be very close. It would be very, very close to have, and I see that's why Kennedy chose Turkey for the previous Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they have their PRP stuff.
And let see. So
is, yeah, they're pretty far, and I don't think our those PRP bases were they're still pretty far. So my thing about tactical nukes are like, and this is for civilians out there. So tactical nukes, they get loaded on F-15s. You has to be an F-15 or has to be a fighter plane with two pilots with at least two passengers on there to fulfill. But there's a rule policy called the two-person concept, meaning a sole individual cannot fly around with a nuclear warhead. So you have to, you have to keep the aircraft and the ordnance need to be separated. Or at least this is how it was. So when I was in Italy, we had the nukes. Like, that was one of my one of the many hats I wore in the Air Force was nuclear security.
Mm-hmm. But
the, how do you say it, our fighter jets, they were in Lakenheath in the UK. So if, you know, it hit the fan, we got to drop the bomb, they would fly from, you know, they would fly from the UK to Italy, to Aviano. Then they would load the ordnance and then, you know, conduct their sortie and blow shit up. It seems, for me, it seems like a lot of moving parts. I prefer the ICBMs.
Gotcha.
And that's the intercontinental nuclear ballistic missile.
And not to forget that we have the Navy that can do that from the sea.
Facts. Like, those nuclear subs ain't no joke. Yeah. One, like, their fuel, like, it's like perpetual. They can, like, drive forever because they have a freaking nuclear reactor.
Not only that, I think I saw something, they run off of hydrogen as well from the water, and they have a process that is able to let them do that too.
It's like they're not gonna run out of fuel. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, as you mentioned, they can launch from like practically anywhere. So it's like, in the event that our land resources are compromised, these folks can stay underwater for like months and then, you know, launch and act accordingly. But these powers are on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And Russians have it, and, you know, America has it as well, among other, you know, sovereign nations. What does that mean for nuclear war? Someone's going to drop the bomb. I think it's most likely going to be a tactical nuke.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are folks going to respond back? I could see in some exchanges, you know, and then it's, people are going to realize, yeah, we need to stop this. But just the way everything is escalating, I'm not basing that on facts, more feeling.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are escalating. It's like, yeah, someone's gonna use one of these.
And not only that, we're in the middle of an election season, so obviously this is an opportune time tactically.
Then there's that. And it's like, we're so pinned down and stretched out, like, fighting wars on different, all over the place, but...
And then we got to send a salute to those, was the army folks that got killed in Jordan?
Yeah, I heard about that. It's kind of what kicked off this whole campaign. And it sucks. It really does. It sucks. However, it's just like, every American life counts, particularly those who are serving, you know, for our best interests. Still, it's your retaliation. I would send like a squad of special operators just to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't make it wet and make it dirty, but like, to full-scale bombing missions is a bit absurd.
Yeah, you and I've talked about that. That's the future of warfare. Cyber and Spec Ops, and then eventually Android. That's what it's gonna boil down to.
Yo, bro, it's drones, and then it's gonna be drones, and then those robots, man. And then you probably have some special operators behind them, but I could totally see, boom, a robot with a SWAT shield and a freaking 249 breaching and kicking doors and shit, and then the guys just mount up behind that thing for cover, and you know. But yeah, warfare is ever evolving, but it only makes sense to use autonomous robots, unmanned UAVs and whatnot. But it's gonna be interesting, bro. But
that's a tough one to answer, man, because we're looking at the geopolitical landscape, and we're looking at, we're in an election here with two opponents that we don't need. We've had a term of both. We don't need neither one of these motherfuckers. And so I posed this question on Twitter or X, right? I said, since neither one of them are a good option, how are you going to practice democracy? What are your options? I said the couch. I was like, third party or explain, right? So I got like a few votes. I think it was a small sample size. It's like 5 votes.
Yeah, I did not see that.
It was pretty split. It was like the couch, third party. It was between those two.
And I just don't like the notion of, I don't like the couch option.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the couch option, again, it allows politicians to write us off in the future. Okay. Niggas don't vote. Niggas sit at home on the couch. I'm good. Okay.
But
even if you vote, like, okay, last election, I voted. I mean, Cameron Ross, CJ for president. Even though, we didn't win, but someone, some metric took note that black people voted, that black people got up and they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of, like, okay, we see that they vote. They didn't vote for us. Perhaps we can expel some energy to get them to vote for us in the future. You have to send that. I feel you have to send that message. Even if you go and vote and say, like, write fuck you on the writing invalid, you're still showing that you took the time, you took the energy to show up, participate in the political process, and vote. Sitting at home doing not, we've been doing that.
Mm-hmm. We've been
doing that. Some folks just chose to, you know, show up and give their power to the Democratic Party. And there's there's black folks that vote Republican as well. But I think it's just, we have to, even if we have to park it in a votes in a third party or write in something stupid, I don't think sitting on the couch is I don't know. I'm ranting on that alone.
Nah, I don't necessarily. I understand that's the person's, as an American citizen, that's your right to sit out the election, right? I don't necessarily disagree with you, because this election is a very big inflection point. And we've been advocated for online, secure, blockchain voting. That's a way to get 100% voter participation. That is guaranteed to get 100%. We know this already.
It's guaranteed to get 100%. Above all, it's guaranteed to give transparency. I'm not trying to rap. Guaranteed to get transparency. Nah. But, like, seriously, why I am, like, lightweight considering moving to Switzerland is because of whoever wins this thing in 2024, the other side's not going to trust it.
Yeah.
If Trump wins, they're going to be like, oh, he found some way to cheat. Our democracy was stolen. And people are going to be mad. But if Trump loses, all them folks, like, they're going to be tight. Yo, they did it again. We can't let them do it again. And I foresee, you know, some hostility from that. And the only way to really get past this threat of civil war ripping the country apart is to digitize this process. Put it on the blockchain so it's unadulterated, so people will trust the results. Because a lot of folks who, as you mentioned, the whole sitting on the couch, it's because they feel like their votes don't matter. And some folks just feel like the system doesn't even work. So I think that's a way to revamp it and, you know, gain more trust.
And what I've noticed, I've been watching, like, I would say independent media or people like us, content creators. We'll bring up online voting, some of us, but it's not a mainstream concept. And I don't understand why. Like, I understand why, but I don't understand why. You get what I'm saying?
I kind of understand from two angles, right?
Okay.
So, one reason is... democracy is dangerous.
Okay.
Democracy is dangerous. And the real democracy... And a real democracy,
uh-huh.
Real democracy, the people can elect Adolf Hitler. In a real democracy, they can elect a very bad person. They can elect the person who says, yep, my full intentions is to dismantle the American government and to make this a socialist dictator or whatever the fuck. In a real democracy, that can happen. But in this gray, mangled thing, where it's very difficult to tell, like where you have margins of errors and all that shit, a lot can... There's room to cheat. There's room to manipulate the system.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, that's a good thing, where you don't put the power in the hands of the people. And I'm saying a good thing from the perspective of whoever's running this shit show.
Mm-hmm.
And then another reason why people aren't for it is because it will put more hands, they'll put more power into the hands of big tech.
Okay.
And pretty much our entire political process. And then you have to bridge some gap between Android and Apple and get cooperation and everything around that nature, but it would literally throw our political process into the hands of big tech.
Let me push back on that. So,
okay.
If we were to, and we kind of talked about the concept, what it would look like, right? Mm-hmm. So if every state created their own app, right? Just like we have our elections, right? When they count up all the votes and all this stuff. If each state has their own secure app, I think that would help mitigate some of the threats that you're talking about.
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
Hell no. So
why
you're
not?
Just coming from an IT guy, right?
Okay, go ahead. IT guy.
So you get updates on your phone?
Yeah.
You get updates on your phone because there's problems with the code, right? There's security vulnerabilities and whatnot. So you got teams of engineers and everything working around the clock trying to make sure your software is pristine and working gravy. It's butter. It's working phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine doing that times 50. 50 different apps that have to be maintained. 50 different sets of vulnerabilities. Okay. I think that would introduce more complications, because essentially those 50 different apps, they're gonna have to talk.
Yeah,
they're gonna be at some centralized point. So the more of those you have to deal with, the more, how do you say, you have the more points of failure.
Okay,
right? So imagine this, right? 48 out of 50 states, their apps are working perfectly. However, you know, two other states, they're just Mississippi and, I don't know, pick some other random state. Mississippi and New Mexico can't get their shit together. And, no. I would say the best thing to do for it, if Elon Musk can't turn revenue with this with the X, aka Twitter app, federalize it, or at least let the feds buy a portion of it just to get, you know, a voting process on there.
Okay.
And
you have been advocating for that as well. I'm just trying to brainstorm, like, all right, how do we do this? Like, we got the concept, but how do we do this? What does it look like?
Everyone's on Twitter. It's just a matter of getting folks everyone's on X, Twitter. Excuse me. So it's like I know you shouldn't have to pay to vote, but there's a... we'll find a way to get people authenticated and then add additional layers of authentication on there. Like, okay, boom, you have to have your ID, send your ID in, but then you have to send a physical picture of yourself. And then you should still have to use your real-time camera to see you real-time, you know, while you're doing this. Build all that into an app that people already know and trust.
Okay.
But that's personally how I would roll that out. And, you know, from there, upgrade America. But again, when I say X and Twitter, because the data that people are really operating off of, like when they're saying, like, yeah, the lead that Trump has over Biden, they're getting it from X. They're getting it from Twitter. And, like you just said it yourself, you did a poll, right? What the heck is an election? It's a freaking poll. It's like the technology is there. You just need to make it, how you say, more secure. And can I say more secure? Enhance the security and authentication methods.
I'm thinking somehow through the DMV is the easiest way, because you got to get your license updated or whatever. I think that's one of the easiest ways that we already have in place. That's another option. And the other option, like we always talked about, you keep the other methods of voting. You don't get rid of those.
Absolutely.
Because those are fail safes. You know, and not everybody's going to vote online. We know that too. So I'm saying we're using this as a sure way to make sure that we get close to 100% voter participation.
And I want to piggyback on that. It's, you're expanding the reach of who can participate in the election. As I mentioned, the elderly, people who can't come in, you have mobile, you can do mobile voting this way. So you pull up and you can do that. And then you're talking about a huge chunk of the American populace, the people who are incarcerating, who are what? Innocent until proven guilty. They too, they need to be able to vote. And mobile voting will allow them to do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think something you said when you said it's a danger to democracy, which I found it almost like oxymoronic, because that's what we're supposed to be anyway.
Oh, now I'm saying too much democracy is dangerous.
Yeah. So I'm like, but isn't that what we're trying to strive for? This is what we're trying to save, right?
Oh, I'm a big fan of democracy, but I'm telling you, the folks who are whatever, the deep state or whatever the heck, those folks who are running the world from the shadows, Illuminati, what have you, they don't like democracy.
I actually had a debate with one of the people when I put the post up. That's what she brought up. Oh, it's the elites behind the scene. I said, yeah, I'm aware of that, but I'm talking about the stuff we can control, per se. And I said, we pretty much are in a, I think it's called a plurocracy, where basically the rich are getting themselves richer while in office.
Is it plutocracy?
Plutocracy, I think that's what it's called. I have to look that shit up to be sure. It's a kleptocracy, plutocracy,
autocracy, autocracy or something.
Plutocracy. Yeah, it's different versions. I feel like the United States has kind of a blend of what's going on right now.
So plutocracy is a form of governance where power is concentrated in the hands of the wealthy elite or a small group of individuals who control a disproportionate amount of wealth and resources within society. In a plutocracy system, economics influence often translate into political power, leading to policies and decisions that primarily benefit the affluent while marginalizing the interests of the general population. The term is derived from the Greek words plutos, meaning wealth, and kratos, meaning rule of power. Interesting. Mm. Sounds like America.
Yeah. But we continuously get fed. Oh, we're still a democracy. Democracy is, we're holding on. It's like, nah, we've been operating like this for a long time.
For a very long time.
Yeah. And I was like, when do you, hold on, let me ask this question. When do you think it switched over to a plutocracy, right? What around what president? Dwight D. Eisenhower, somewhere in there, maybe a little earlier than that?
Bro, I dare say after George Washington.
Damn.
And hear me out. And again, I'm just speculating, but it's like his main concern, or one of George Washington's concern, was the political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, the political parties, it becomes an entity of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And once you had those seeking power, like those political parties, then it was always the biggest corporations, because they were around in the times of the founding fathers, the wealthiest individuals who are donating money to these to these political parties, their interest was certainly going to be prioritized.
I'm going to venture to say, for me, FDR is when it really switched.
And why do you think?
Because of all the social programs that he was able to get off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing he didn't get off was the Second Bill of Rights, which would have been helpful to the average American.
Hold on, that was FDR?
Yes.
So wasn't it FDR that abolished the gold standard as well? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Ooh, good question.
Because it's like, if he abolished the gold standard to pay for all the, so he could print money and pay for all the socialist things, and that's not a very good idea.
Yeah. That's a good question. We have to look that up. When was the gold standard? Yeah, when was the gold standard terminated? But in my opinion, just based on what we're talking about, I would say definitely FDR is the inflection point.
And you think it was the socialist programs that created this plutocracy?
Well, he was the last. I feel like he was kind of the last to look out for the average American citizen for the most part. I'm not saying it was perfect, because you still had discrimination within that. But he created what? Social Security, all that stuff, right? It was during his 2.5 terms. I don't think he made his fourth term, or he did 3 terms. I can't remember exactly.
Hold on, I'm looking it up, and not to make me dig for it. On ChatGPT, what was FDR's role? Gold standard. So Franklin, FDR played. Still going. So FDR played a significant role in the history of the gold standard during his presidency, particularly during the Great Depression in the 1930s. When FDR took office in 1933, the United States was facing severe economic challenges, including bank failures, deflation, and high unemployment. one of FDR's key actions relating to the gold standard was the signing of Executive Order 6102 on April 5th, 1933. This executive order prohibited the hoarding of gold coins, gold bullion, and gold certificates by individuals, effectively requiring them to sell their gold to the Federal Reserve at a fixed price of, $20 per ounce. Government then raised the price of gold to $35 an ounce, effectively devaluing the dollar and allowing for greater monetary flexibility. So I guess that relates back to some of those social programs. But
okay,
yeah, I ran about all the time. Print some money, buy the Bitcoin. Back to USD, kill inflation, upgrade America, and I suppose we can use this to segue into our next topic, Bitcoin reparations.
Okay, all right, go ahead with that.
Well, I mean, before I rant on, I would like to hear your high-level reparation plan, so we can, piss off all the white people. Like, this is their favorite time of year. We talk about reparations.
Yeah, and it's Black History Month, by the way. Shout out to all the Black American family. We are highlighting all our contributions to this modern America, and people tend to forget that we built this shit for free.
Facts. White House still standing.
Yeah, and invented damn near everything. Bring that up. Music, everyday items like ironing board, shit like that. I think AC, man, almost everything we invented. So, and that's not even counting the stuff that was stolen from us patent wise. So this is the stuff we actually know about. High level reparations, basically determine the lineage from the 1870 census. That's how you determine your Black American lineage, right?
Interesting.
And we got ancestry. Everybody can do that and trace the history back. Then figure out a way to just distribute payment, right?
Bitcoin. Right, go ahead.
No, you can use Bitcoin as an option. I'm not opposed to that. I think that's what we should be figuring out, the amount and how long it'll take to distribute it. Are we going to do it in like a yearly amount, a monthly amount? Like, how we need to be talking about how we're getting paid instead of the study of us getting paid. That shit is done. It don't take that.
I agree on that. A part of me says people should get it monthly, unless you have some sort of comprehensive business plan on how you want to spend the bag. But you're absolutely right. These are the conversations that we should be having. One should be exactly how much, what is going to be the total that's going to be allotted for this bill.
I've seen up to $20 trillion. I've seen estimates between $14 and $20 trillion.
Thing is,
in reparations.
And now, if you're talking that amount of money, then you got to do that over years.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think the one I propose, print $2 trillion, buy all the freaking Bitcoin, back the U.S. dollar. You could do that in a term. You could do that in a term. If we print trillions to deal with stupid shit. All the
absolutely.
Time. Yeah. Stupid wars. Stupid, just stupid shit.
Oh, yeah. So, and so in New York, the governor didn't they just pass 183 million?
Oh, go ahead. How much you said?
I think it's 183 million to the Juliets.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. I thought you were talking about they're giving 53 million to the, to the illegals. $1,000 a month.
So, I think, and this is what both candidates need to know. Unless you are doing something specifically for Black Americans, you don't really have their support. Like, we're past the games. We done read through all the symbolism, all the political language. We're seeing what migrants are getting. We're seeing what Israel is getting. We're seeing what Ukraine is getting. We're still
seeing.
The
thing is, the media is still using that freaking the racist language. And because they think that some black people think that the right is racist, and they are, but they will vote simply just to, oh, I don't want a racist in power, so they just vote exclusively on that. But you're right. People are waking up to the fact that everyone is getting hooked up by us. And that's why I encourage, you know, black community, park your vote third party. And just, but at the same time, represent. But go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, you're good. So I tried to put this in AI, right? Google and ChatGPT. And so it kind of came up with this canned response. Elections are a complex topic with fast-changing information. To make sure you have the latest and most accurate information, try Google search.
So let's do this real time.
Okay.
So let's add some factors, all right? So let's write a bill for reparations.
Mm-hmm.
For 40 million Americans. African Americans to get tested for, how did you put, what was the language you used for relations to slavery, to descendants of slavery?
Yeah.
But you mentioned something when you're talking about the census. You used a term, and I want to put that in here.
What was it? I'm trying to think now. Not reparations, no. It was something else.
I'm just put lineage to
what? Chattel slavery?
African slaves in America. In America, not Africa.
Yeah, be very specific.
And how do you say proposal? U.S. Congress. I'm just going to speak to it.
Okay.
Instead of typing. Because it lets you do that now. Oh, stop. My bad.
No, you're good.
I'm still working with this. It's not letting me. I don't have the upgrade, so it's not letting me speak. No matter. So proposed U.S. Congress. Prints $2 trillion, buys Bitcoin, backs the USD, and provides reparations in Bitcoin. So I think it would get stuck because there's so many reparation bills that have been proposed with wild budgets and everything like that. So we have to narrow it down.
Okay.
Buy Bitcoin for reparations. Payouts. I'm just trying to think what other information it would need. Let's just fire away.
Yeah. I'm curious to see.
So it says the title is Reparations for African American Descendants of Slaves. Preamble. Whereas the United States recognizes the endurance legacy of slavery and its profound impact on African American communities, including economic disparities and social injustice. Whereas it is the moral obligation of the government to address the historical injustice faced by African-American descendants of slaves. Whereas innovation approaches are necessary to provide meaningful reparations that contribute to the economic empowerment and advancement of African-American communities. Section 1, Reparation Allotment. The United States Congress hereby allocates a sum of $2 trillion for the purchase of providing reparations to African-Americans descendants. The allocation's funds shall be utilized to purchase Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, in accordance with the market value at the time of purchase. Section 2, establishing a lineage testing program. So yeah, it wrote the bill. It was not very high level distribution of Bitcoin. I put some more parameters in there, like how much everybody should have, it'll go down. I think it's, you come with a skeleton, and I'm talking about ChatGPTC, it will just format it and elaborate a bit more.
Okay, I kind of see how you wrote it, where I probably went wrong trying to write it. Okay, that makes sense. But that's what it really boils down to politically for Black Americans. So you would definitely want to change the lineage language, because it's really tricky with saying African American, because that's Elon Musk.
Excuse me. You're right. It's a matter of, it's not necessarily semantics, but like, you have to, as you mentioned, it should be people who descend from slavery.
Yeah.
I stand by that. Again, if you have 10% of your bloodline, then you should get 10% of the payment, and 15, blah blah, all the way up to 100. One reason, because I'm a fan of equality. Two, I think perhaps white people would hate less. And I'm gonna be straight up and down. Angry white people against reparations would be a huge threat. I could see them starting a war or a major terrorist attack over that. So letting them get a taste, because very few people are straight 100% ethnicity. You would have more involvement, and people would hate less. People still gonna hate, but they less.
I guess I'm more Killmonger on this. I don't give a fuck, because they've been getting subsidies and handouts and control all this shit for a century. So I don't give
a fuck. Like the Killmonger.
Yeah. I really don't give a fuck. If you mad, you mad. Like, you wouldn't have your America without us. So pay us up, apologize, correct this shit so we can move on. That's the problem. That's why it's still a problem, because we haven't corrected it yet. You're trying to brush this shit under the rug. You're trying to erase our history every fucking year. Every day we're talking, we're taking this out of history. No, this is history. This is American history. I'm over that shit. I'm done with all that trying to be nice and shit. Are they nice to us? No. They fuck with us in every kind of way, every form of society. When we go in there to get a medical checkup, they don't think we feel pain. When we try to move to a new neighborhood, you don't qualify because of X, Y, and Z. Even though you can have perfect credit, down payment, all this stuff, still won't let you move in. When we go to school, we're not educated properly. Been hiding our education, our history forever, right? When we go to, even socially, going to Starbucks, we can get shot in there. Going to church, get shot in there. Being at home eating ice cream, get shot there. Just a regular traffic stop shot there. So, like, I'm kind of over coddling and accommodating them, because they don't do it. They just tolerate us. I don't like that. I'm over that shit. This is our country, and we fought in every fucking war honorably. And our taxpaying dollars matter, too. We're part of the reason why America is able to function. That's my rant.
Nah, bro. Totally feel that. I totally feel and agree that, and it sucks, like our current position, and we don't have power, and we don't have power right now in this 21st century. Like, as communities, as individuals, we don't have power. We see the communities that have the power, and they don't get treated like us. So the real question is how do we get that power? And it's I'm still trying to wrap my head around that as well. And a part of me, my heart boils when you my blood boils when you you remind me of, you know, the reality of Black America. And there ain't no other solution but building one motherfucking town and hiring private security. It's Black Wall Street all over, but we have motherfucking nukes. We got fucking security. No one can blow that shit up.
Like, yeah.
That's the only solution. It ain't no, oh, we'll just vote in the right motherfuckers. No, man. The right motherfuckers ain't gonna change your block. It's,
yeah.
And it's like...
I
don't think we should buy all these freaking abandoned buildings and then I think you should build some new shit. Build freaking Skyward out in the desert and make it black and secure. But while you're living in under another man's empire that don't like us, I would not expect. I'm not saying I've gotten used to, you know, getting shit on, but I don't expect very much in under this empire.
And I will agree with what you're saying is we do have, I'll put it this way, we have moral power, we have cultural power, we have one-sided of economic power as far as spending power, but we don't have infrastructure, like you said, we don't have, what do you call it, political power, really, because that requires money like that, concentrated in the right way.
I feel our culture has been sabotaged, and it is self-destructive. And inasmuch we a lot of self-inflicted wounds are coming from our cultural and our cultural norms. And man, I don't want to say it's hell when I see the kids freaking these young ass kids running around. With freaking Glocks with switches and shit. Like, how the fuck do you how do you save that? How do you change that? And I feel it's like generations of shit. They fucked our culture up for generations. And how to undo it? Oh, more STEM and blah blah blah. Nah, man, that ain't it. I suppose this will lead to I talked about that Upgrade America album.
Yeah, yeah.
So I proposed back when I wrote the book Upgrade America a couple of years ago, more than 5 years ago, is that America spends countless money on stupid shit. Countless millions on stupid shit. So I think something, if you want to spend some countless millions, let's do a little $5 million, right? To make an album, to make and promote an album. But on this album, it's just going to be people, artists from all 50 states making virtuous, patriotic music.
Okay.
And those people who make the cut, $1 million deal. Off the rip, $1 million deal.
Okay.
And I feel if this incentive encouraged future artists not to be like, oh, I'm going to make shoot 'em up, bang, bang, kill everybody type music. No, instead of doing that, make virtuous, patriotic music for the chance of a $1 million payday. Perhaps that will have an effect on future generations.
Okay.
I believe the biggest, and the CIA knows this, all the intel boys knows this, biggest influence of human beings or of people is the culture. And if you can infiltrate that, if you can control that, then you can destroy and steer people any direction that you want. Shout out to Brother Cube, who, you know, he was talking about the hip hop industry, and I for a long time I believe it is a psyop. And he's saying, Ice Cube was saying how the same folks that own the prisons, the private prisons, own the fucking record labels. That my generation of gangster rap, D-Block, that's referring to a D-Block is when you're locked up, you're on alpha, how do you say they're blocked?
Alphanumeric.
Yeah, really alpha characters because there's really no numbers. to them, okay. But like you got your A block, your B block, your D block, right? But mm-hmm. guess what? While you're locked up in jail, right? You are what? Your state property. What's mm-hmm. Beanie Siegel's label? Like state property. All these references to jail and gangster shit mm-hmm. like that. But this was pushed on to generations of kids who were growing up thinking like that's the way. And you hear it all the time. Like that music is designed to get you to get into criminality and jail. The whole campaign mm-hmm. of Lil Wayne and his Bloods. Everyone in the Air Force is a freaking Blood. Every mm-hmm. black person I met all around said, yeah, I'm a Blood. Mm-hmm. But music has a big impact on developing minds. And if mm-hmm. we could get more virtuous, more patriotic music, and if the government could do that, I don't know. That's just something I'm throwing out there. We talk about lotteries, you know, mm-hmm. and how we can use lotteries to make a lot of positive impacts and change. We can do the same thing with music.
I would add to that and say social media is probably more powerful than that music mm-hmm. now at this point in time. It's social it media. Is.
There's Florida is passing a law where they're banning some social medias for kids under the age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
I'm yeah. not against it because I see the impact.
I agree too. When you see everything from toddlers to like preteens mm-hmm. using TikTok and all, like I could say my niece, she's what, 9, 10? I'm like, you shouldn't really be on here like that. You know, like, so...
Guilty.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that law at all.
I read the study on just the scrolling and using social media and stuff like that. It's changing humans' brains.
Mm-hmm.
They're still learning about the grand impact, but my understanding is like attacking gray matter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they said something like it can lead to communication gaps with the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a study because, you know, tablets are relatively new, but a couple of decades. But mm-hmm. now they're trying to figure out how, like, the kids who are like my daughter, for instance, she uses freaking mm-hmm. iPad. I kind of feel guilty because she uses YouTube Kids, but she's in that scrolling. She's like, oh, I have control. I can.
Yeah.
She loves it, but it's. The constant dopamine fixes from just scrolling and stuff is mm-hmm. impacting people's brains. We don't know how it's 20 years of this shit. Mm-hmm. We don't know how that's going to impact people. And the younger generation is going to be that guinea pig.
And I would push back in the sense that I think we do have the information, the creators of these apps. I feel like they're not releasing it and not totally transparent about it.
I agree with you on that.
Because you can also research and show that their kids don't use social media, don't have tablets, et cetera, not on these apps, allegedly. A lot of them keep their kids off of these things until they're adults.
Yeah, so, Bill Gates, I recall him saying that. And I think Zuck mentioned something along those lines as well.
So that's the one thing I interject. I think there is a lot of research. I don't think it's out there. They're not purposely putting it out there because that destroys their business model.
Yo, like I was just reading just the whole endless scroll thing, meaning like you, instead of like scrolling to the bottom of the page and clicking on like page 2,
mm-hmm.
page 3, what have you, the whole... Just you keep scrolling. Like when that was first rolled out, people thought that was unethical because like mm-hmm. yo, people just do it all day. But they're like, yeah, but if TikTok does it and we don't, we're gonna be behind from TikTok.
Yeah.
So it's like all this unethical stuff, but it's like you mentioned, it's all about the business models. But yeah. we got some time to discuss any new rules. Any new laws that you think of?
Okay, so me and Cam, we're talking about we're going to create laws, bills for laws. We're going to do it on a Florida level, obviously, because we live in Florida currently, because nationally it takes more effort. At least Florida, you can go senators on down, right? So, man, I created a bunch. I'm trying to think where to even start. I guess I'll do this one since we're in the realm of, I guess, education and something. So, well, actually, what's the other one I created real quick? I think that was interesting. Of course, I did a mass transit. You already know I did that. Did the drug one. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you. I got a response from the mayor. The city manager. And he was like, did you send this to the senators? Because it's considered illegal locally. So they were telling me. They were telling me to go that channel first.
So you send a bill?
Yeah, based on the bill. I think it was either for prostitution or drugs. I can't remember which one I sent.
I see. Yeah, it would seem that you would have to change it on a state level.
Yeah.
Locally.
Okay, I'll do this one real quick.
Okay.
I'll try to give an overview and have to read the whole thing. But essentially, I give the preamble.
All right.
The Florida Private Citizen Pension Security Act of 2024. So, recognizing the increasing insecurity of retirement for Florida's private citizens, the Florida legislature enacts this bill to establish a voluntary state-managed pension plan accessible to all employed residents. This plan aims to supplement existing retirement options, promote long-term financial stability, and attract and retain a skilled workforce for the state's continued economic prosperity. So essentially, create a pension, a state pension for all private citizens of Florida. So it wouldn't be just limited to state workers or federal workers. Now, private citizen can create their own pension through the state.
Interesting. Totally see the need for that.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of, you know, discuss how to fund it. But we did mention, how do you say, legalizing drugs, prostitution, and a whole slew of other things.
Absolutely.
This will raise taxation, you know, so that we can do interesting things like this. Real quick, I just want to shout out to Myrna P. Francis. She passed December 10th. That was my mother. Loved her. I'm glad she's in another place, better place. You know, being a parent is hard. She had strong Christian values. I hated them as a kid. But, you know, as a head of household now, this is something, you know, that I see as important, you know. And I appreciate everything that she did for me and my sister. But sorry to cut this short. I gotta run.
But okay, man.
Closing remarks, bro.
Nah, man. Shout out to you and your family, Mama Frances. She did what she could. You know, you my brother, so she did a good job, best she could, man, with you and your sister. So that's all you can ask for. And she don't have to suffer anymore, deal with this shit. She can rest in peace. So shout out to you.
And yo, to our upgraders out there, my closing remarks, to reiterate what brother CJ said, embrace your humanity, live it up, like go outside, breathe fresh air. They didn't ruin it with you know, the nuclear war ain't ruined that all that yet. You know, they didn't block out the sun, how do you say, to stop the robot revolution. Like, it's a good time to be alive, everybody.
Absolutely. Nothing
love for you. You know, go out there, follow your dreams.
Cool.
So, yeah, thanks for rocking. I'll catch y'all on the next episode.
Peace.